Chapter 23. The Coast Guard cutter towing the Queen Conch was coming down the Hawk Channel between the reef and the quays. The cutter rolled in the cross-chop the light north wind raised against the flood tide, but the white boat was towing easily and well.
"She'll be all right if it doesn't breeze," the Coast Guard captain said. "She tows pretty, too. That Robbie built nice boats."
Could you make out any of the guff he was talking?
"He didn't make any sense," the mate said. "He's way out of his head."
"I guess he'll die, all right," the captain said. "Shot in the belly that way.
Do you suppose he killed those four Cubans?"
"You can't tell. I asked him, but he didn't know what I was saying."
"Should we go talk to him again?"
"Let's have a look at him," the captain said.
Leaving the quartermaster at the wheel, running the beacons down the channel, they went behind the wheelhouse into the captain's cabin. Harry Morgan lay there on the iron pipe bunk. His eyes were closed, but he opened them when the captain touched his wide shoulder.
"How you feeling, Harry?" the captain asked him. Harry looked at him and did not speak.
"Can we get you anything, boy?" the captain asked him.
Harry Morgan looked at him.
"He don't hear you," said the mate.
"Harry," said the captain, "do you want anything, boy?"
He wet a towel in the water bottle on a gimbal by the bunk and moistened Harry Morgan's deeply cracked lips. They were dry and black-looking. Looking at him, Harry Morgan started speaking.
"A man," he said.
"Sure," said the captain. "Go on."
"A man," said Harry Morgan very slowly. "Ain't got no. Hasn't got any. Can't really. Isn't any way out."
He stopped. There had been no expression on his face at all when he spoke.
"Go on, Harry," said the captain. "Tell us who did it. How did it happen, boy?"
"A man," said Harry, looking at him now with his narrow eyes on the wide, high-cheekboned face, trying now to tell him.
"Four men," said the captain helpfully.
He moistened the lips again, squeezing the towel so a few drops went between them.
"A man," corrected Harry, then stopped.
"All right, a man," the captain said.
"A man,"
Harry said again very flatly, very slowly, talking with his dry mouth. "Now the way things are, the way that they go, no matter what, no."
The captain looked at the mate and shook his head.
"Who did it, Harry?"
the mate asked.
Harry looked at him.
"Don't fool yourself," he said.
The captain and the mate both bent over him. Now it was coming. Like trying to pass cars on the top of hills. On that road in Cuba. On any road. Anywhere. Just like that. I mean, how things are. The way that they've been going. For a while, yes, sure, all right. Maybe with luck. A man."
He stopped. The captain shook his head at the mate again. Harry Morgan looked at him flatly. The captain wet Harry's lips again. They made a bloody mark on the towel.
"A man," Harry Morgan said, looking at them both. "One man alone ain't got. No man alone now."
He stopped. "No matter how, a man alone ain't got no bloody fucking chance."
He shut his eyes. It had taken him a long time to get it out, and it had taken him all of his life to learn it. He lay there, his eyes open again.
"Come on," said the captain to the mate. "You sure you don't want anything, Harry?"
Harry Morgan looked at him, but he did not answer.
He had told them, but they had not heard.
"We'll be back," said the captain. "Take it easy, boy."
Harry Morgan watched them go out of the cabin.
Forward in the wheelhouse, watching it get dark and the light of Sombrero starting to sweep out at sea, the mate said, "He gives you the willies out of his head like that."
"Poor fellow," said the captain. "Well, we'll be in pretty soon now. We'll get him in soon after midnight, if we don't have to slow down for that tow."
"Think he'll live?"
"No," said the captain, "but you can't ever tell."